And a very pleasant good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com on this Friday night. I'm looking up at MSNBC, and I was half expecting to see a furthering, continuing discussion of all the stuff that's going down in Washington that ain't good. But instead, I'm looking at lockup, man, and I forgot it's the lockup marathon, man. You know.
Yeah, it's a weekend lot. It's the lockup marathon.
Who loves that one on the weekend?
What is the lockup marathon?
Lockup is it's a great show. Lockup is, it's what MSNBC turns into on the weekend. They don't have the budget to keep, and I'm not knocking MSNBC. I know that people are probably thinking, oh, this is a great way to take a shot at a bunch of liberals. I got no problem with MSNBC. In fact, they've been my go-to guys here during this whole shutdown thing. But, you know, the station does lose something when all of a sudden you look up and there is a bunch of cats with all this jail ugly. You know,
What is jail ugly?
Talk about cats.
You know, that's just me being a smart. Yeah, but it's called jail ugly. All those neck tats, all those prison tats, all those guys, and it's just one nightmarish face after the next. None of them you'd want to see at your back door in the middle of the night. None of them you'd want to see knocking on your door at 3 a.m. None of them you'd want to see hovering about your car in a darkened parking lot. It is a look at the faces of evil. All nice guys, I'm sure. And someday we may go up to prison and actually do a remote broadcast, in which case I'll have to apologize for the things I'm saying now. Go. Cut. All right.
Well, isn't that a nice way of ingratiating yourself with the prison inmate population of this country? Are you serious about that?
Yeah, I'm saying, you got to be kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. I mean, we've done remote broadcasts from prisons before. We've done it. We actually did, you know, back in the day, and I shouldn't say back in the day, because I'm not saying that they haven't done it since, but when I worked in rock radio, when I say rock radio, I mean album rock radio, back in the 70s, we had a softball team. And stations used to have that. You know, you used to have a softball team with the disc jockeys. It was real cornball, but the fans loved it, the listeners loved it. And we would challenge other teams, and the listeners would come out and watch, and you'd get sponsors to sponsor the games, and you'd leading up to the game, you'd have ad buys on the station. It was good for business. Well, our little team that we had, it was at WORJ. By the way, we have a special guest. Wait,
No, go ahead. This is interesting.
Well, you got to talk about Rick Rundell.
Yeah, Rick Rundell. I don't want to forget, because Rick will probably... appreciate the fact that we will have the legendary conservative talk show host Rick Rundell with us this evening, and Rick will be up in a couple of minutes. But just to get back to this point about the sort of unusual promotions that we did, so I was working at this radio station in Central Florida, which I think is where Rick does his show, right?
Yeah, he does it out of where, bud?
I does out of Orlando, but I don't know where that is.
Florida.
Yeah, is it Florida in Central Florida?
Yeah, it's Central Florida. What do you mean you don't know where that is? That's where Disney World is.
Oh, yeah, it's Disney World.
Right. So anyway, so Rick Rundell does... All right, so we were on the air at WORJ in Orlando, and we would go up and around and everywhere to do these games. Well, we got invited to play a team of inmates from the Bushnell Correctional Institute in Citrus, Florida. And we took, you know, took them up on it. And we went up and we played these cats. Now, you know, we're walking into a prison, and you get a little taste of prison culture. Not much, because you're being escorted in by the prisoners. The guys who invited us to play were very nice guys. They wanted to ensure that we had a great time, because they listened to us. I mean, this was their favorite radio station, and they listened to our music, and they're in prison, man, and they're there... You know, for God knows how long, and so it was a special thing for these guys. And they had lemonade, and they had food, and they had, man, they laid it out, you know.
So they made this food for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, it was a big event for them. And the spectator, all the prisoners, you know, would came and watch the game. I wouldn't say all the prisoners in the prison. I guess all the prisoners that listened to that music, and, you know, primarily white.
Yeah, see, I told you, Robert. What are you talking about, man? Just white guys. Black guys listen to rock and roll, too.
Yeah, no, you're right, Robert. But, I mean, it was, I hate to say it, but it was mostly white guys. I mean, I don't know, how do I tell you?
Yeah, it was probably a different time then.
Well, yeah, and it was Florida, too. I mean, not that there weren't black guys hanging around, but it was mostly white guys. So anyway, we went in and we played with baseball. We played a softball game against these. And they kicked our ass. They kicked our ass. I mean, come on. You know, they were prepping for this game for weeks. And as we were walking in, I remember hearing the other prisoners would say to the guys on the team, hey, don't lose. I mean, there was probably money being bet, you know, and I'm sure that these cats that had this prison softball team said, look, don't worry, we won't. I mean, I don't know that they knew what kind of players we had. We didn't have very good players. We were a bunch of disc jockeys, which means we had the basic baseball skill of your average guy that goes out on the weekend and plays baseball. I mean, how good is that? A couple of guys can hit, a couple of guys can throw, but, you know, well, these dudes, I mean, all they're doing all day long is practicing. You know, they're out there, and I'm telling you, the center field fence was a guard tower, okay?
You are kidding. How far away was that?
It was a long way away. It was a long way away. It was a damn long way away, but it was a guard tower. The center field wall, basically the wall, was the prison wall. And I'll never forget this one guy came up to bat. This cat's name was, his nickname was Treetop. And they called him Treetop.
What's his name?
Treetop. They called him Treetop because he was a big tall guy. And this dude, a very nice guy. I remember he reminded me a lot of a friend of mine back in California. But he was a nice guy, big, tall guy. And, man, when he got a hold of it, I mean, this cat cranked one right straight over that guard. I'm telling you, straight away center. It had to have been, and I'm telling you, we're playing a softball game, folks. So to hit a softball, you know, 320 feet, 310 feet, something like 300 feet, man, that's a feat in and of itself. And these guys were just, don't quote me on the distance, but it was a long damn way. Nobody on our team are getting hit that far. So there are all these guys that don't lose. Don't sell out, man. Don't sell out. I remember that was the big, don't sell out. And one of the guys said to me, because he heard me on the air, you Phil Henry? He said, yeah, man, I heard you sell out on the air the other day. And what I'd said was, we're probably going to go up there and get our asses kicked, is what I said. And you know me, because that's, he said, I heard you sell out, man. I said, well, you know, I mean, you know, I there's no doubting how good you guys are and all of this stuff. So we had this game. They beat our ass, but they treated us great. They took a whole bunch of pictures, man, and I traded T-shirts with this one guy. I had on my WORJ T-shirt. This guy had on his inmate T-shirt, which basically had a serial number across. He said, man, would you want to trade shirts? I said, yeah. I mean, because to me, having one of these shirts, I don't know, you know, maybe it would be some kind of a collector's item. What it almost did was get me, these guys were afraid that once I put that shirt on that they were going to keep me in the prison, so I was escorted by about five or six of these prisoners to the gates to make sure that everyone knew who I was, you know.
Well, they were afraid that you were going to be kept in the prison. Why?
Because I'd exchanged shirts with this one guy.
What a prison shirt.
Well, why would you do that?
Because the kid asked me for my shirt. He was a prisoner. He said, man, can I trade shirts? I said, yeah.
Well, you ran the risk, Phil, of being in prison, and I don't think you have to...
Yeah, they would have had you... They would have been calling you Mary by 10 o'clock that...
You shut up, calling me Mary. So, the upshot on it was we got our ass kicked, but the guys were there, very nice guys. And then, of course, you know, you're learning the stories of these guys through the afternoon. You're talking to them. I said, what are you... This guy, Treetop, was getting out in a month. And there were a couple other guys going to be getting out, and everybody was happy for them. And, you know, God knows what kind of life these men have gone on to live. I have no idea, but they were getting out. And then I talked to one guy, man, who was my age. At this time, I was 24, 25 years old. I'm talking about guys exactly my age. I said, so can you tell me what, murder. He says, I'm in for murder, man. I said, really? He said, yep. He said, if you would have told me 2 years ago, I said, how long you been here? He says, I've been here a year. I said, how long are you? He said, it's a life sentence. He said, if you would have told me 2 years ago, I'd be spending the rest of my life in prison, man. I never would have. And I remember the words. He was a pretty normal guy. I mean, I could tell probably beneath the exterior of this guy, there was a little bit of insanity because he was ripped. He had on glasses. He was very well spoken. He had kind of, you know, he's probably doing a lot of weights and stuff. And apparently he killed his girlfriend in a jealous, you know, fit. And that was it for him, man, the rest of his life in prison. So that was in my younger days, and
these are the kinds of promotions you want radio stations. Oh, baby.
Are you kidding me or something? They'd be calling you Mary by 10 o'clock.
Will you shut up with the Mary thing? I'm just telling you, back in those days, we used to do some pretty, if not inventive, we used to do promotions that were, you talk about reaching out and touching the community. This wasn't really touching the community so much as it was giving the community a little position of eavesdropping in on another way of life and another kind of lifestyle, and by way of us, they saw what life was like in there. And we did another a remote broadcast. What's with the thing, Margaret?
I'm giving you the hurry-up sign because Rick Rundell...
Oh, well, Rick Rundell, excuse... All right.
Well, you know Rick Rundell.
Yeah, I know all about Rick Rundell. We got a whole... Okay, folks, I'll be right back. Rick Rundell is going to join us here in a moment, one of the legendary talk show hosts in the history of talk radio, a great conservative talker in his own right, a man who has spent his life fighting the politics of the liberals, fighting the tax and spend liberals on radio stations across America. Rick Rundell is next. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and Rick Rundell joining us here from Orlando, Florida, and Rick's home studio there. Rick, it's great to have you with us. I've been told by a great many people, I don't go back as far as you do in the talk radio business, but the respect that you have among people that I've talked to is immense.
Well, I do appreciate it very much, Phil, and thank you for having me on your program, and a hearty hello to everyone that's listening to your program, and certainly our Rick Rundell fans out there as well. It's been a long, long run.
How long have you been doing a conservative talk radio show?
Well, that's a great question. I started really seeing the light politically, Phil. It was before Limbaugh, I know that, and it was pretty much before anyone else, and I'm not saying that to draw any unnecessary attention to myself. What I tell you is true. But I know that my experience in this business far exceeds Limbaugh.
Well, Limbaugh started...
Hold on, because you're talking about his national show?
No, Limbaugh started his national show in 88, but remember that he had been on the air in Sacramento for a number of years before that. So we're talking about probably 1984, I think, is when Rush went on the air, maybe even a little bit later, went on the air in Sacramento.
Well, I've been doing my show, my conservative, and I think rightfully so. People consider me to be the dean of conservative radio since 1987, and that would be 1 year before Rush Limbaugh started. And certainly Rush, what he's done for this business, people appreciate.
Well, but what I'm saying is,
What Rush has done, I'm not saying I don't appreciate what Rush has done. I'm just saying that I've been on the air longer than him.
No, but what I'm telling you is that Rush started his national show in 1988.
Right.
But he started his local talk show in around 84, 85.
Well, but the national radio show that Rush Limbaugh is doing dates to 1988, and I started mine in 87. You're talking about a local show? I don't think anyone really counts that. I don't think anyone really cares what Rush Limbaugh was doing locally.
How long have you been doing a national show?
Well, I've been doing my nationally syndicated show. I've been doing for the last 5 years, but we have been holding forth in Orlando, and Orlando is a tough, tough market, and we were able to break into the Orlando market and battle our way up the ratings in Orlando as a conservative station, Phil, as a conservative show, rather.
No, but you're talking about a local show, right?
You're talking about the Rick Rundell show.
Yeah, your show started in what year?
1987, Phil. And
your national show?
My national show started in 2010. And I have been with Forsyth Communications since then.
All right, so you haven't been doing a national show as long as Rush.
Well, I've been doing my show longer than Rush Limbaugh, is what I'm trying to tell you. I've been doing mine since 1987.
Okay, but he's been doing his...
Yes, Rick, this is Margaret Gray. He's been doing his since 1984.
Well, I'm sorry if I didn't get your name. You're Margaret Gray.
Yes.
All right, You are who? You're the...
She's my co-host on the program.
All right, okay, forgive me.
But it doesn't matter who I am. Rush Limbaugh's been doing his show since 1984.
Rush Limbaugh has been doing it now. Look, I don't want to argue with you people. I was invited to come on your program. I'm happy to do that, and I'm happy to the extent that I can, try to bolster your audience, but I'm not going to argue with you people. I've been on the air longer than Rush Limbaugh. And I don't mean to cause an argument, Phil.
Well, you know, I don't want to argue with you. You know what? You're right. I don't have the experience that you do. I don't have the time and talk radio that you do. I could be getting some things wrong.
Well, no, I don't think you are getting anything wrong.
Do you want me to have David G. Hall was the man who booked this interview?
No. I don't need for you to talk to him or anything. And I think what we will just do is agree to disagree. That you've been on the air.
I've been on the air longer than Rush Limbaugh. Look, I'm not saying that I've been on the air longer than Rush Limbaugh to say that I'm better than him, but it does show that I've got more experience doing battles with liberals. Now, look what's going on and why. Let's get to the point of why I'm on your program and why I'm doing this national talk radio tour, Phil. Rick Rundell is dying.
I understand that, sir.
Rick Rundell is dying.
Did you talk about you?
I'm sorry, who was that?
That was Bud Dickman.
Bud Dickman, all right. Bud Dickman, yes, I am talking about me, Bud Dickman. I'm talking about Rick Rundell. Rick Rundell is dying. Rick Rundell doesn't have much longer to live. Rick Rundell is dying, and Rick Rundell is on a national talk radio tour right now, Phil, to get the word out about what's happening in Washington, D.C., and how we can stop the scourge of Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act and all the other liberal programs that are socializing America right out of existence. I must get this message out before Rick Rundell passes on. And if I am using a third person to communicate myself, the third person participle, past part. Progressive participle, you know, past blue perfect. If I'm doing something wrong, what I'm telling you is I'm doing it for Rick Rundell because I love him.
Well, Rick Rundell is you.
Rick Rundell is me, and I admire him for what he's done.
All right, we do have Rick Rundell with us. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. We're talking to Rick Rundell, who is one of the top conservative talk show hosts in America. Now, Rick, you're talking about dying, and I think we have to let the audience in on this.
I understand.
And to the extent that there are a lot of people who don't know.
Well, my listeners, my fans, understand that I have been dying now for the last 2.5 years, ever since I was diagnosed with a cirrhosis of the liver, this is as a result of the battles that I have faced in the talk radio arena. I will clarify what Dr. Jeremy King had said on the Terrence and Hardy show, that I was an alcoholic, and say that is absolute nonsense and is proof of the political bias of that program. Trying to call yourself a conservative show.
Okay, Rick, before you get going into this, there's a lot of these shows and a lot of this intrigue that my listeners are not aware of.
All right, well, suffice to say that Terrence and Hardy do a conservative radio show in Sanford, Florida, and I called them out as I call them the gutless wonders of Sanford. They call themselves conservatives, but they didn't line up behind George Zimmerman when they could have. And now they're calling me an alcoholic. I will file suit if I hear that repeated.
You have cirrhosis of the liver. How did that happen?
It happened from drinking. There's no question that it happened from an excessive drinking. But the drinking that I engaged in that gave me cirrhosis of the liver is not alcoholic drinking. It was the drinking that comes from...
Do you feel that you were pressured?
Yes, it's the drinking that comes from the pressure I was under, being the only conservative in America that was doing battle with the liberals, and to call me an alcoholic...
Do you drink now?
I drink now, and I will I'll continue to drink because it's my right.
But with cirrhosis of the liver and the doctor in this report, this was in the Orlando Sentinel, delirium tremens.
They're claiming that I hallucinate. I hallucinate because of the medication they had me on. I hallucinated a bat crawling through a wall. I hallucinated mice. I hallucinate.
All right, hold on for a minute. Rick Rundell is with us, and we're talking to Rick about the really the end of his radio career, and God forbid, the end of his life. He has been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver, and as one of the top conservative talk show hosts in America, he will be missed. He's doing a national talk radio tour to get, as he says, the truth out about Obamacare before he dies from this cirrhosis. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Rick Rundell, legendary conservative talk show host, is on the line with us, and we're talking to Rick about, you know, this is kind of a tragic, sad little interview. Rick, you're basically saying this is it for you, that you are, as you said, you are dying, you're on your last legs, and this is your last effort at saving the country from the socialization of Obamacare. And I have to ask you, being on death's door, as you say you are.
I'm not making this claim, Phil, for ratings. I really am. I have cirrhosis of the liver. I cannot I cannot have a normal bowel movement without extreme pain. And when I do, it is off color.
All right, no, I understand. I'm just asking you, given the seriousness of your condition, is this the best way to spend your last moments?
I can't think of a better way of spending my last moments than to be out among my listeners and educating them. Of course, there are better things I could be doing. I don't deny that I'd rather at times be with a woman and to know the love of a woman. I'm a married man, but my marriage has been over for a long time. My listeners know that. I'm a father, but I'm estranged from my young people. I haven't been treated as fairly, I think, as some men who've devoted their lives to helping this country. A very good friend of mine out on your coast, Mr. Larry Grover, who I know you know.
Yeah, we do. We know Larry.
All right. Larry has suffered the same fate.
Well, we know Larry very well, Rick, and Larry, much of his problems are made by Larry.
Well, I don't doubt that we all have our opinions, but would I like to have normal relations with a woman and spend my time on a beach enjoying God's creation and not be fooling around with it? Of course I would, but this is the only way that I can stay close to, and you know, I've had a fascination with Michelle Bachmann for quite some time. I'm not stalking her, I'm not bothering her, but my fantasy is some kind of a connection
with Michelle Bachmann.
With Michelle Bachmann, yeah. I don't anticipate. No, I would never buy. I think that she is a beautiful woman, and the thought of her excites me.
Okay.
What does mm-hmm mean? I got this from the Tracy and Edwards show too. So
well, it's a kind of an interesting statement that you're making. You know,
it doesn't seem like the Obamacare is number one on your mind necessarily.
Well, it is on my mind. It is very much. And it is on my mind because these other things I will never really enjoy. I'll never be able to have the love of Michelle Bachmann. She's married, and she should be married. And I think enough has been said about her husband. He acts effeminate. I question whether he is a heterosexual at all. But that's something Michelle and he have worked out. And if they're happy, they're happy. I saw a videotape of them kissing, and she looked like she actually really enjoyed it. And he, if you've seen him, Phil, he's a sissy.
Okay, I'm very uncomfortable talking about these personal issues. Let's get back to, if you want to talk about Obamacare.
But we're talking about how my life is going to be spent now until the day that I die.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Obamacare, but I also want to talk about how I have in the back of my mind the hope, and I'm not doing anything to push myself on her. I'm I pray, and I pray very, very fervently in the morning and in the evening. I probably spend about 7 hours a day in prayer.
And what are you praying for?
He's praying for Michelle Bachmann.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
That was Bud. Hold on, Bud.
It was Bud. Well, I am praying for a sign that will lead me to some resolution of my feelings for Michelle Bachmann, yes.
All right. With us is Rick Rundell.
When you pause like that, I know you don't mean anything, Phil, but when you pause like that, it causes me to feel as if you're snickering or eyeballing each other in the studio, as if to say, get a load of the freak we have on the air. You're not doing that, are you?
No, I am not doing that.
No, we're not, but I will tell you this. You're issuing some very non-traditional opinions.
Well, Rick Rundell is known for that, and I won't let me tell you.
Let me get to a phone call here, okay, Rick?
Certainly, yeah.
We have a caller from your neck of the woods in Orlando, Florida. This is Merle. Merle, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Rick Rundell.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Is it Merle?
Yeah, Rick.
How are you, Merle?
Well, I'm good. How have you been?
Well, I've been very, very fine. What can I do for you?
Well, you don't remember me, do you?
I don't remember you, no, sir. Should I know you?
You should know me, because you and I shared a courtroom.
Oh, this is Merle Haggin. Not Haggins. I keep thinking of Haggard.
This is Merle Reeves, sir.
Merle Reeves. Yes, sir, I do remember you. Yes, sir, I do.
All right, and you remember what had transpired in that courtroom and what was the decision was.
Yes, I do, and we've appealed it. And I think it's really the height of dishonesty to come on a program like this, Merle, and start to grind an axe about this personal... about this civil action you had against me.
Could you mind me asking what it's about?
I do mind, because it's got nothing to do with Obamacare.
I would be happy to tell the host of this program, I had a very brief sexual relationship with Mr. Rundell.
This has been his claim. This is the slander. Again, I want the audience to understand. Again, look, notice the technique. Notice the technique, the slander, the lies.
No, sir, this was proven in court, and the judgment was rendered in my favor.
A judgment was rendered in your favor for the use of damage to bath towels and the damage to a bedspread. It said nothing about me having a sexual relationship with you.
Well, you also ordered to pay the doctor's bills because I had suffered, as you know, a bleeding, internal bleeding.
This is...
Okay, I don't know that I want to go here. Has this been adjudicated, sir?
Yes, sir, it has been adjudicated in Central Florida. Mr. Rundell and I had a weekend together in Key West of a relationship. He says it's not sexual. Okay.
No, it was not sexual. It was a business meeting. That took place over the course of 48 hours. I think this is unconscionable. I really do. And I'd ask the host, did you set this up?
I didn't set up anything, sir. I got the call from this guy.
Well, this is an unconscionable attack on my reputation.
Well, we have to know, Rick, was this a court case that was adjudicated and did not turn out in your favor?
It was a court case that turned out not... Because of the judge involved and the liberal policies of the judiciary. I'm not going to go into it.
Well, all I'm saying, and I'm calling the program because you haven't returned my phone calls, and now you're on there talking about a desire, a passion you have for Michelle Bachmann. You and I both know that's not possible with the orientation that I understand you have, all right?
Well, if you think I'm some kind of a Ted Haggerty or Haggast, the man who was the preacher, you got another thing coming. That's not my problem at all, my friend.
All right, you can say that. But
is the host there? Because I don't want to sit here jawjacking with this freak.
Yes, I'm here. Let me ask you, Merle. I'm just listening. Forgive me, Rick, but I'm listening with interest. Let me ask you, Merle. What was awarded you? What was the verdict in this thing?
Not the verdict.
Are you going to allow this slander to take place? Because I will hang up.
Well, all right, you can hang up if you want, Rick, but the host of the show has asked me a question.
Okay, I mean, you're going to hang the phone up?
I'm going to hang the phone up if you allow this slander to continue.
I was awarded $40,000 in physical damage because I was sexually battered, and I'd also had a nosebleed from this encounter.
Hold on. Did he hang up?
Yeah.
Okay, so we lost our guest. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I had a nosebleed. I was sexually battered. I lost $2,000 in bedspreads and sheets and pillowcases and this. All of it ruined by, a body oil, this kind of sex oil. So.
And you sued for the cost of this?
Well, it was very, very expensive.
It was valuable bedspreads?
Yes, sir.
And you were sexually battered?
Yeah, that's right. I did not call it rape. I said that Mr. Rundell had battered me sexually. And he said it was his way of repelling my advances. But I don't know how it is you repel a man's advances by... if I showed you the medical report.
Okay, I don't want to see it. But I understand what you're saying. Let's take a break. Thank you very much, Mr. Reeves, and let's take a break.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
What did the guy tell you?
He said that he got battered.
Well, he says it's sexual battery, and that it was based. There's a medical report. And that Rundell says he was pushing away this man's... He was repelling this man's advances. But in repelling the man's advances, somehow he had sex with him.
Yeah, well, he said to repel a man's advances, he did it using his penis.
Oh, well, you give me a break on that one, man.
Well, that's what the guy's claiming, so, I give everybody their day in court.
Oh, you give everybody their day in court, huh? I was repelling his sexual advances, Your Honor, yeah, by using my penis. I don't think so.
Well, Phil, you're not the end-all be-all here.
Well, I may not be the end-all be-all, but I got big news for you guys. I got a news flash. That there ain't no way. There's no way. How do you repel someone's sex? That's like a woman saying that I was opposing a guy raping me by pushing my breasts into his face or something. What is that about, you know?
Well, you never know. You probably could do it that way.
Yeah, I'm not willing to judge until all the facts are in.
All the facts are in, and this cat says he won the court case against Rick Rundell, conservative talk show host. So try and get him back on the line. Mr. Rundell has hung up on us. He did not want us to talk to this Merle Reeves, a guy from Orlando who said he had a weekend with Mr. Rundell in Key West, and there you go. All right. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We are online at philhenryshow.com, and coming up on Saturday, that's tomorrow, we will be at the L.A. Podfest. That's the L.A. Podfest. Come out and join us, Bobby Dooley. We'll be interviewing Graham Elwood, the founder of the L.A. Podfest, baby. And then, of course, that will be eventually online for all of you guys to download. Bobby Dooley. Mm-hmm. The Bobby Dooley Podcast at the L.A. Podfest tomorrow. All right, welcome back. Here the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. With me is Rick Rundell. We did get him back online. Mr. Rundell was probably understandably upset that we continued talking to this caller who was discussing a civil action. It had nothing whatsoever to do with the ongoing tour that Mr. Rundell is involved in. This is a talk radio tour to try and, quote, save America. And I apologize for that, Rick.
The comment he made was... And I heard the comment you made, Phil, and now I have to address it. When you say that, when I claimed that I was trying to repel this man's advances, and I was. And you asked, well, how do you do that using your penis? I would love to be able to tell you, but the Federal Communications Commission...
No, I understand.
So you understand. There are things. I would love to be able to tell you how I did it, but the graphic nature of what I would tell you... involving the sex act itself
Now, wait a minute. Rick, I'm sorry. Are you saying that you committed a sex act with Mr. Reeves in order to keep him from his sexual advances?
I had no choice, yes. I had no choice. Please understand one thing. You're in over your heads. You don't have the information you should have. And the other thing that is happening here, and I wish that it had not, I'm Rick Rundell. I am on my farewell tour before I die from cirrhosis of the liver. There's already enough bad publicity out there about me from drinking too much. This thing with this guy in Key West. A wife and children who don't want to have anything to do with me. And this tour that I'm doing, which of course is by way of telephone, but I'm also traveling to different areas of the country, and I will be very honest with you when I say that I don't consider accommodations at the Ramada Inn or accommodations at some of these rundown Hiltons or accommodations at a Super 8, which is one of the radio stations, but I don't consider that to be respectful at all. And I can tell you, when I return to the airwaves for my final 6 months on the air, I am going to make a point of calling out these stations.
What are you talking about now, sir?
What does that mean?
What are you talking about now? You know, you're talking about the accommodations you're getting in your final tour. We haven't talked about Obamacare.
No, we have not talked about Obamacare because I had some old queen call up and...
Well, that's not right.
Well, I forgive me, but Merlin Reeves is well known in the Sanford area. He's seen around town in every watering hole, every restaurant such as they exist in Sanford, and that would mean a Denny's and a Bennigan's and I think they've even got a Sambo's there still, and maybe one place that that pretends to be a place of a dinner place, but he's seen in every one of these places affecting some feminine clothing.
All right, I don't want to get into this because there's a whole bunch of questions I could ask you that you don't want to answer. You hung up on me once, and you don't want to answer these questions. So,
what questions do you want to ask me?
Well, I thought you wanted to talk about Obamacare and about the socialists.
I do want to talk about it, but you allowed this man on the air to call me out.
Okay, how do you resist a man's sexual advances by using your penis?
I can't tell you because of the graphic nature.
Yeah, DR said can't do it.
I would love to be able to tell you, Phil, but it's graphic, and it will get your license pulled as sure as God made green apples.
You protecting yourself will get my license pulled.
Yes, because I had to do some pretty sick and despicable things to get this guy off of me that night. When I woke up and discovered what he was doing, I had to do some things that I don't even recognize myself. I don't even know who I am before he got his hooks into me.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Rick Rundell with us. Let's go to Dean in Northern California. Dean, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. This is Dean Wheeler. Dean is with the Northern California Holistic Center. Dean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Phil, and a very pleasant good evening to you, Mr. Rundell.
Hi, Dean.
You don't recall me. I called you several times when you were on locally here in San Francisco on the Peter B. Smith Show.
I remember being on that show, yes.
Well, that's all right. I'm very liberal. I'm very, very, very liberal. I think Obamacare is wonderful. I think...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
But hold on, because I'm not finished, and I don't want you to get your shots in so the audience can laugh and say, look at Rick Rundell, what a wonderful guy he is, making fun of the effeminate heterosexual man on the other end of the phone. But...
I haven't said any of those things, Dean. I'm simply saying that I don't recall you calling the program.
Well,
allow me to finish. I don't recall you calling the program, and if I have a comment to make, I think Mr. Hendry will back me up in this. I have a right to make it.
Yeah, he does, Dean, so let's not get too petty.
All right. Well, I won't get too petty. I'll get right to my point. Every 6 months here in the Mill Valley area... we have what's called the Chaser's Coven. You were invited to it. and we invited you in with a good intent. You got on your radio program the following week and said that it was a front for some kind of what you thought was a lesbian terror cell.
Was this the witch's coven?
It is a coven of warlocks and Wiccans. Warlocks and Wiccans.
All right, it's a witch's coven, though. It's my understanding.
No, sir, it is a coven of warlocks. It is a warlock coven with Wiccan, female Wiccans, as our subsidiaries. But we are basically warlocks.
Well, there was, again, Phil, and this is what my life takes me to. I went to this thing. There was a lot of nudity, a lot of really suggestive dancing.
No, that's what you saw with your conservative framework. God, why don't you look at what's going on instead of being so...
All right, we've got to take a break, and we have to let Mr. Rundell go. I apologize. It's been, I guess, one of those nights, Rick, where you're going to get a lot of questions, a lot of comments. There's a lot of, you know...
Well, I understand, Phil, but I want to just to go back on... I was invited to a warlock dance of some kind. He called it a Wiccan coven. What I saw that afternoon in that clearing, it was a clearing between two wooded areas out in Mill Valley, was a warlock dance of some kind.
All right, well, we're going to have to get to this at some other time and some other place. I apologize, folks. We got to get going. We are right now coming into a break, and we'll be back next hour with all kinds of weird news, including more on Obamacare and just exactly how whacked the right side of this argument is. Phil Hendry Show.